Do owe him the King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him.
Christ the King, whom shepherds call, heard an angel sing.
Son of Mary, Son of Mary.
Baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
To Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. star shone bright up in the east. To Bethlehem, the wise men three came many miles in journey long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and golden myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all this beautiful singing. Amen. Well, I sure wish I could sing. Boy. And as you can tell, I can't, so I can read real well. So Sister Stephanie said, you're going to read, even though you can't sing. Amen. So I want you guys, I'll give you this opportunity to close your eyes. It's a short story. And it's taken from the book, The Story of Jesus, chapter 1. And it hereby reads, in the little town of Nazareth, nestled among the hills of Galilee, was the home of Joseph and Mary, who were afterward known as the earthly parents of Jesus. Joseph and Mary possessed little of earth's riches, but they had the love of God, and this made them rich in contentment and peace. They were children of the heavenly King, who was about to give them a wonderful honor. There in that lowly shed, Jesus the Savior was born and laid in a manger. In that ruled cradle lay the Son of the Highest, he whose presence had filled the courts of heaven with glory itself. Before he came to the earth, Jesus was the commander of all the angelic hosts. The brightest and most exalted of the sons of the morning heralded his glory at the creation. They veiled their face before him as he sat upon his throne. They cast their crowns at his feet and sang his triumphs as they beheld his greatness. Yet this glorious being loved us, the poor sinner, and took upon him the form of a servant that he might suffer and die for each one of us. Jesus might have remained at the Father's side, wearing the kingly crown and the royal robe, but for our sake, he chose to exchange the riches of heaven for the poverty of earth. He chose to leave his station of high command, to leave the angels who loved him, the adoration of the heavenly throng he chose to exchange for mockery and abuse by wicked men. From love to us, he accepted a life of hardship and a death of shame. All this Christ did to show how much God loves us. He lived on this earth to show how we may honor God by obedience to his will. He did this so that by following his example, we may at last dwell with him in his heavenly home. In closing, this was taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that would be for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels sleep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek nose feel will raise himself, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We were the reason that he gave his life. We were the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give, to show us the reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts, the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain, all because of love, all because of love. We were the reason that he gave his life. We were the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. I finally found the reason for living. It's in giving every part of my heart to him. In all that I do, every word that I say, I'll be giving my all just for him. For him, we are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. He is our reason to live. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. We are the reason that he gave his life to show us the reason to.
Thank you, Jamie, Melissa. We are the reason why he lives. It's time in our worship service where we come to the Lord with our thanksgiving. If God has been good to you, let me see you raise your hand. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray constantly. Give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. Even when the hill is high, we're going to give thanks to the Lord. Yeah. Even when we go into adverse circumstances, we're still going to praise him. I read a meditation yesterday morning. This pastor was going to a meeting and he started praying and he praying to God to stop the rain. So he doesn't want his Bible to get wet, his suits and everything's to get. And it was still praying. And he went to church and he was upset. He said he prayed to the Lord to stop the rain here. How he got to church today. And he went home after the meeting, and somebody, three guys knock on his door saying they come to pray, to praise the Lord for the God that he's serving, because they were waiting for him. They paid them to kill him. And because it was pouring and their arm fell in the water, couldn't walk. So that's the reason why they did not kill him. In all things, give thanks to the Lord. Amen. We're serving a God. Sometimes we don't understand what's happening to us, but he only knows, and he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. This time I will ask you to kneel with me as we come to him in prayer.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Our Father and our God, Creator of the universe, King of kings, Lord of lords, you have asked us to come today to worship you. And Father God, we want to thank you for your presence this morning. Father God, we want to thank you for your presence in our lives. Father God, we want to thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us to free us from bondage of sin. For this, Father, we thank you. Father God, this morning we come with nothing good in our hands, because all the good things that we want to do is the bad is always showed up. Father God, we ask you this morning to erase completely our wrongdoing. It is our nature to do what is wrong, Father. Sometimes we don't even realize it. Please, Father, remove natures of sin in our lives. Father God, this morning, we do not ask you to fill our cups, because our cups have already been filled. We do not ask you to let them overflow, because they are overflowing with your bountiful blessings. Today, Father, we ask simply that divinity will touch us, that divinity will teach us, that divinity will transform us, make us into your image. Do to us, Father, what you want us to be, so you can do to us what you will. Speak to your main servant today, so indeed we need to hear a word from you. Open our hearts and our mind to receive you, Father. Father, at the same time, we lift this church into your cares. Father God, may you bless every one of us and do whatever you will in our lives. Father God, we thank you for your presence this morning. As we worship you, Father, send your Holy Spirit to dwell among us, to dwell within us. So wherever we go, Father, we can be an ambassador for you. we can represent you, Father, the right way. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for all the things that you have done for us and the thing that you promised that you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Holy night, brightening, it is tonight of a dear Savior's birth. Lonely the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Hear the angels' voices. Oh, know divine Lord, when Christ was born. Oh, divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His love is love, and his gospel is true. Change shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful Christ frees we, let all we in us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim his birth and glory evermore. was born. Born now, and born now, born I
I was waiting to Mr. Lucy's voice. I was not there. I didn't know what she was there for. But then I kind of peeped up and I saw her hands again. I realized that she was signing. She was not supposed to be singing. But that was a wonderful rendition of song, oh, Holy Night. I'm sure that by now you must have all being fully absorbed in Christmas spirit. And, you know, just a disclaimer here. You know, we are not saying that Christ was born the 24th, the 23rd, the 25th. We are in a season that we cannot escape the attention of his birth. You know, and as God's people, we knew he was born, and it's the time when the world is somewhat receptive to the fact that the Savior was born. And, you know, as Christians, Seventh-day Adventists, we're nothing different to that fact, that our Savior was born. The topic for today is the most astounding fact about Christmas. You know, there are facts and there are facts. You know, we're here and we're breathing, and it's a fact. But does that blow our mind away? The fact that we get up every day and the same thing happening over and over, we're breathing, it's a fact. It would be something that is astounding if you were touched in the morgue and said that you're here because someone pronounces you dead, but you're not. That would be a fact that would probably blow your mind away. The story untold about the man who went home and was told that he was supposed to be killed, but that's a fact that would probably blow anyone's mind away. So they're a fact, and they're a fact. And you know, and I know that you probably looked at the topic, and you probably in your mind have already decided for yourself, what is the most astounding fact about this time that we are celebrating, this Christmas season? What is the most astounding fact? What is it that actually captured me most? You know, there are some interesting facts about Christmas. I'm not sure a few of them with you. It is said that 3 billion Christmas cards are sent in the U.S. each year. 3 billion Christmas cards are sent in the U.S. each year. Alabama was the first state to officially recognize Christmas in 1836. Oklahoma was the last in 1907. President Teddy Roosevelt, an environmentalist, banned Christmas tree from the White House in 1901. Approximately 35 million living Christmas trees are sold each year. More than 45 million are planted each year. Purchases account for 1/6 of all yearly retail sales in the U.S. in December. 1/6 of all retail sale is accounted for in the month of December. Christmas, White Christmas by Irving Berlin is the best-selling single record of all time. The tallest Christmas tree ever displayed was in Seattle. It measured 221 feet tall. The candy cane was invented in Germany. It was made into a J, which stands for Jesus. The red stripe symbolizes his blood. Black Friday is not the busiest shopping day of the year. The two busiest shopping days of the year are December 23rd, which is today, and December 24th. Two busiest shopping days of the year. 3,865 square miles. The biggest display of lights ever made is in Australia. It has 1,194,380 LED lights, and it covers an area of 3,865 square meters. The first Christmas celebration in America, or in American land, was in 1539 in Tallahassee, Florida. There was no trees, no present, just a religious mass. Did you find any of these astounding or interesting? What were they to you?
Interesting.
Interesting, not astounding, all right? So what do you consider as Christians to be the most astounding fact about Christmas? One says Jesus' birth. And I've asked this question, and I got similar answers. I got answers like the birth of Jesus and salvation coming to us. The whole world, this is such an important event that the whole world marked time around this event. The whole world marked time around the birth of Jesus Christ. BC, before Christ, AD, which does not mean after death. Many people think it does. If it means after death, there would be a 33-year gap in the calendar. It actually means Anno Domini, which are Latin words, which means the year of our Lord. The whole world marked time around the birth of Christ. Hence today, we are in AD 2023, the 2023rd year of our Lord. What is it about the birth of Christ that is so significant that the whole world at this time is focused on this one event? What is it about it? Is it because it provides an opportunity for family to get together? Is it because it provides an opportunity for us to receive gifts? Is it because it's a time of eating, which is good? It's a time of merrymaking. It's a time when everybody is in a joyous giving spirit. What is it about this event that makes it so meaningful to us as God's people? Have you thought about it? Are we just like the colors, like the dress up, like the food, like the sorrel, like the merrymaking, like the lights? We enjoy going out at night. We see all the beautiful array of lights so beautiful, and it lifts your spirit. What is it that is so astounding about Christmas? Let's get to it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24, and our scripture reading. John 1, 1 to 3. You can follow me in your Bibles while we look at Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Our scripture reading, John 1, 1 to 3 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the Holy Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. These two passages probably two of the most talked about passages in the Bible, because there's some things in there that you just have to accept. You cannot wrap your minds around what they're saying to us. Mary and Joseph had to be stunned, had to be shocked, had to be astonished, had to be astounded. Never got together, but they're expecting a child, and not just any child. But they were told that this child will be the savior of the world. This child is going to be the savior of the world. Can you imagine being in their position? Can you imagine hearing that from an angel? You know, in the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah has the most messianic prophecy. It talks about the coming of Jesus as a child more than any other book in the Bible. And what Mary and Joseph were told, it was told to Isaiah long ago. And if we look at Isaiah chapter 7 with me, I am not going to go through this, but just to give you a little bit of background of what happened here or what transpires here. In the book of Isaiah chapter 7, Syria is planning to go up against Judah
to besiege Judah.
They had all plans, everything laid out. They decided that, listen, we are going to go up and we are going to take them over and we are going to set up a king of ourselves. God said to Isaiah, go talk to Ahaz, who's the king of Judah. And God made some very strong statements there. He said, listen, tell Ahaz, don't worry about them. Do not be afraid. As a matter of fact, let me just quote this because I like it so much. I like the way he said here. He said, take heed, Ahaz, and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce danger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remali, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remali have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap into its wall for ourselves, and let us set up kings over them, the son of Tabor. Thus saith the Lord, is what God says, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. And here is why God said it's not going to come to pass. As a matter of fact, before I get there, Isaiah told Ahaz, ask God for a sign. And you know what he says? He says, I will not test God. I am not going to ask him for a sign. I'm going to test God. And don't think that this statement meant that he didn't really want to test God. He made it because he didn't trust God. Because he was doing something else with Assyria, not Syria, planning to sell some of his own people to Assyria as slaves. So he was kind of doing a backdoor deal outside of Judah. So he was in all kind of stuff. The Bible tells you that Ahaz was not a good king. And he was planning to do that. So when he got the message, he wasn't in for it. He was focusing on other stuff, but yet he was fearful that he was going to be taken over. And God said, listen, here is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you a sign. Let's look at verse 14 of chapter 7. Here's a sign that God says I'm going to give you, that it will not happen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is in Isaiah chapter 7. And guess what? This was predicted 740 years before it happens. And why was it a sign to Ahaz and to Judah? It was a sign because God promised that Jesus is going to come through Judah, through David. And if they are destroyed as a nation, that plan would never come through by the mark. So God said, this is a sign that it is not going to happen because Jesus hasn't come as yet. And it's going to come through you, through Judah. So don't worry about you being demolished or being destroyed or being taken out. It's not going to happen. And that was a sign he needed to bank on because Jesus had to come through the lineage of David. So he said, don't worry about them. Their plans are not going to come to anything. Don't worry about them. So it was a sign because the virgin is going to conceive and going to bear a son, shall call his name Jesus. Name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Did you get that? God with us. Who is God? Who is God? Look at Genesis 1, verse 1. Who is God? He's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Mary is going to bear a son. And his name shall be called what?
Emmanuel.
God, Emmanuel. What does it mean? God with us, the creator of heaven and earth. He's going to be born through a human being. In the Desire of Ages, page 22. Mr. White, you know, this book is said to be one of the best book ever written on the life of Christ. And that was the claim made about it by us. The best book ever written on the life of Christ. And here's what he says. He said, it was Christ who from the bush on Mount Horeb spoke to Moses saying, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Exodus 3 verse 14. Thus was the pledge Israel of Israel's deliverance. So when he came in the likeness of man, he declared himself as the I am, the child of Bethlehem, the meek and lowly Savior is God manifest in the flesh. And to us, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the living bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I am the assurance of every promise. I am. Be not afraid. God with us is the surety of our deliverance from sin, the assurance of our power to obey the law of heaven. Emmanuel, God with us. For me, the most astounding fact about Christmas is that the Creator of the world, the one who says, let there be, and there was. The one who stood in space and called the stars, the sun, into space. The one who created the earth and separated the land from the water. The one who created every creature on earth, the one who created every living thing in the ocean. The creator of heaven and earth condescend to be human. That's the most astounding fact for me about this time. How can you wrap your mind about around that? The creator of heaven and earth became human. You know, it's one of the hardest thing. One of the hardest thing for people, for individuals to accept. And for people to believe. And even when Christ was on earth, for time's sake, I'm not going to go there. You can go there. It's Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 18. Jesus was seen as just a good man. He was seen as just another prophet, a good teacher. Therefore, Jesus asked the question. He confronted the issue with the disciples. He wants them to understand. He wants them to give him feedback of what was being said about him out there. And he asked in Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 18, who do men say that I am? What did they tell him? You're John the Baptist. You're a teacher. You're a good teacher. You're a prophet. Jesus get personal. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's a question that we all have to answer for ourselves. Who do we see that baby born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago as? Do we just see him as a good teacher? Just see him as someone you need to go to when you're in problems and you want to offer some prayer for some help? Who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a question we're going to have to answer for ourselves. Who is Jesus to you? What does he mean to you? Who do you say that I am? And I spent some time on this because the deity of Christ, even today, is such a debate. Some people think that he wasn't fully God. And he wasn't fully man because he couldn't be both at the same time. He couldn't be. That is why in the book of 1 John 4, you can read it, yourself 1 to 3, that was addressed. It says, listen, if there are spirits, you need to test the spirits, and there are spirits that's going to come and they're going to say that Christ didn't come in the flesh. But we are warned that those are spirits of the Antichrist. You can read it for yourself. I don't want to go there now because of time's sake. We're warned that those are spirits of the Antichrist. If, you know, I heard a long time ago that there are some things about our salvation, if we try to understand them, we lose our minds. And that's one of them. If we try to understand it, to explain, we might just lose our minds. But if we don't accept them, we're going to lose our souls. Don't lose your mind. Accept what the Bible says and don't lose your souls. Because we cannot fully explain all that goes on. Paul calls them the mystery of godliness. But I love the old song. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Who do you say that I am? God became human. Astounding, mind-boggling. Let me say it another way. God did not send someone to redeem us. He came himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God came himself. You know, I heard a story about a friend who went to a judge, got a ticket, had a judge with a friend. So let me talk to my friend. Went to the judge and listen. I got this speeding ticket, and you know, I want you to take care of it for me. Yes, of course I'll take care of it for you. A few weeks later, saw the judge, and he said, "Did you dismiss that ticket for me?" The judge said, "No, I didn't dismiss the ticket." That's all you said, you're gonna take care of it for me. He said, "Yes, I took care of it." He said, "How did you take care of it?" He said, "I paid for it." He said, no, I thought you're gonna just do your judge thing and just dismiss the ticket. The judge says to him, "Were you guilty?" He said, "Yes." "Were you guilty? Are you sure?" He said, "Yes." The judge says, "Well, justice demanded that the penalty be paid. And if I'm a righteous judge, I cannot just dismiss it. I have to pay for it." A lot of people think that God dismissed the charges. No, he didn't. Jesus came in human flesh so that he could pay the penalty for our sins. It's not just dismiss. He paid the penalty for our sins. And if we have any doubt that Christ became human, it also means that we have doubt that he died for us. Because he could not die unless he became human. He couldn't die unless he became human. He became one like us. God became human. I'm saying it over and over because I need to process it also. God became human so he could pay for our sin. The creator became a creation. His life was dependent on other people taking care of him. He grew up, he went to school, he was human. And I know that Mary had problems. She had struggles wrapping their minds around that. Because even when Christ was said to be growing up or grew up, he went to do his father's business. And they were, "Where is that boy?" Christ reminded them, "I'm about my father's business." They just even, and sometimes even though they probably read it in the prophecy and knew what was going to happen, they couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that they're growing God in the flesh. Couldn't wrap their mind around it. And there's a song that I love, a Christmas carol that I love. And it kind of captures a lot of the question that must have been going through Mary's mind, or Mary did not know about. It says, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy was gonna save your sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that that baby you delivered will someday deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind? Did you know your baby would calm the storms with his hands? Did you know that your baby has tread where angels tread? Mary, did you know that when you kiss the face of your baby,
you kiss the face of God. That is, if that is not astounding, I mean, the most astounding fact for me about Christmas is that this God came from heaven, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, grew up like ordinary child. This God who created the earth became human. You know, and I said before that these two facets of Jesus Christ have come under attack over the world, all around the world, his divinity and his humanity. The Desire of Ages says, however, that is you by his humanity, Christ touched humanity. By his divinity, he lays hold upon the throne of God. Simultaneously, he touches humanity with his humanity. That is why Hebrew says that he is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We do not have an high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He would not know, he couldn't relate to our groanings, to our pain, if he hasn't become one of us. He had to be able to relate to us, so that when we said, Lord, have mercy, he knows what we are going through. He became human so that he could identify with us. He's in all points tempted as we are. He was scourged. He was nailed to a cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. He conquered death. And because he conquered death, we have a hope that the grave is not the end. He has been through everything that you can ever imagine. The question Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 is a question that we have to answer. Question that we have to answer. Is he just the savior of the world? Is he just a savior? Or is he my savior? We can say, in those three categories, the savior, a savior, or my savior. You know, I read something very interesting about from this author, Calvin Miller. He's a pastor. He's a professor. He grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. He retells something that happens to him. The first day of school, he said that, I remember the first day of school when Mistress Dirksen, my first grade teacher, asked me my name. That was easy. I told him my name. Then she proceeded to ask me, what is your mother's name? I said, Mama, that's her name. She said, no, that's not her name. I said, yes, we all call her Mama. That's her name. She said, no, that's not her name. It's something else. I said, no, it's not. She said, look, son, Mama is what she does. And Mama is what she is. But she has a name. She does. Her name is not Mama. I said, I'm sure. But I'm going to make sure I ask Mama when she comes home this evening. So he said, I couldn't wait to get home. And as soon as Mama walked in the door, through the door, I said, Mama,
Mama, do you have another name? He said, she said, yes, I have a name. My name is not Mama. My name is Ethel. And then she went on to say, not only that, but I also have a middle name. And my middle name is Faye. Calvin said that. She then went on to mention something that to that day brought a new awareness to him. He said that. My name is Ethel. My middle name is Faye. And my last name is Miller. But wow, that is my name. My name is Miller. And he said that opened up a new awareness for him. You know, and he said that it dawned in him that they share the same name. You know, as we go today, I wish for you, I desire for you, I hope that for you and for me, that there's that same dawn of awareness that Emmanuel, God with us, brought. What it means for us in terms of redemption. Redemption, the work of redemption is complete because Emmanuel, God, the creator, became human. In the place where sin abound, God's grace much more abound. The earth itself, the very field that Satan claims as his own, to be not only ransomed, but exalted, only to world under the curse of sin, the wonder blot in the glorious creation, will be honored above all other worlds in the universe of God. Here, where the Son of God tabernacle in humanity, where the King of Glory lived and suffered and died, here where he shall make all things new. Tabernacle of God shall be with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And through endless ages of eternity, the redeemed walked in the light of the Lord. They will praise him for his unspeakable gift. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, hymn number 122.
At the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He's on earth and mercy man, God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky.
Mary's womb, pale in flesh the Godhead seen, in the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, oh, Emmanuel, heart to herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen healing in his wings.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Shalom, my friends. Shalom, my friends. Shalom, shalom. God's peace go with you. God's peace go with you. Shalom, shalom.
May be seated for a moment of a kind. At this time, the deacon will usher you out.
You guys leave it now. Thank you. Thank you.